Amen. Well, let's look in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to share a message entitled, Where is Thy Faith? 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. While you're opening up there, just a couple of things. If you're interested in being in the choir, and be sure to come up here. There's a sign-up sheet up here on the front table. If you signed up out in the foyer, that's okay. I'll get your name off of there. Don't worry. You won't escape. And but get signed up. We want to sing some special music as a choir for the anniversary. Not the anniversary of the church. Well, I'm really looking down the road. For Easter Sunday, which is coming up about 3 weeks from now. And so next Sunday afternoon at 4:30, we're going to start choir practice. And so be sure to sign up so we know how much music we need to get together and be ready for practice. And God's been good to us, enabling us to get back in together. I think it's a great time for us to start singing, trying to put things back in order, back to normal. Amen. And we're thankful for that opportunity. And make sure that you're ready for all the different services. We have 9 o'clock, we have 10:30, we have 5:30 discussion panel, 6 o'clock service on Sundays. Most of them are live streamed, except for the 10:30 service. And, of course, Wednesday nights is live stream and also in-person study and time of prayer together. And I'm looking forward to that this Wednesday as we can gather back together again and have a time of prayer for each other and for those that have special needs. All right, so where is thy faith? 2 Kings chapter 4, and that's a long passage we're going to read. And hopefully my trifocals won't get out of whack. We'll be able to get through it. Amen. And then we're going to come back and take it apart a little bit and look at some of the experiences that this woman experiences. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elijah passed the Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said unto Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for thee? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father's to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to the lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. And then she saddled an ass and said unto her servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God at Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. And then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Let's pray. God, I pray you'd help us tonight to be able to connect with this woman as she experiences a great miracle, not one miracle, but miracles upon miracles in her life. And God, may we be able to draw some truths about her faith that'll help us, Lord, to build our faith and to be able to grow in our faith and to be able to experience faith to where we could see miracles take place in our life. God, we're thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the salvation you have extended to us. And God, we're just thankful that we are aware of the fact that every day that you're with us and you're blessing us and you're helping us. And so build our faith tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So where is your faith? It is certain that this woman had to express and experience great faith in her life. You know, we know the story. We read through the story. Elijah is going through the town, and as he is going through, this woman sees him, perceives that he is a man of God. I have another message I'm working on right now on this passage in reference to being a man of God. But she sees him going through the town and traveling. Every time he would travel, she perceived that he was a man of God. And she was blessed by that. And so she speaks to her husband about building a room or having a room established where the man of God could come and dwell there and sleep there and rest there and study there. And so as they build this room and provide this for Elijah wants to be a blessing to her. And so he asked her, what is it do you need? What is it that you want to experience? And she doesn't communicate anything to him because she stays with her people. And so he says, I'll give you a child. This time, a time of life, you'll have a child. And she, it's just interesting how she responds, because she says, don't deceive me. You know, I remember my wife and I years ago, and when we first got saved, and we've always wanted children. The Lord's never blessed us with children. I remember we were at this charismatic church, and they took us up in front of the church, and they were praying over top of us and all this, that, and the other, and they told my wife, go home and knit booties because you're going to have a baby now. And I just feel like this woman, don't deceive me. Why would you deceive me? Why would you say something's going to happen that's not going to happen? Where's her faith at that point? But yet Elijah blesses her. And as he blesses her, she has a child. However, that child then has something go wrong with his head. My head, he cries to his father. And as he takes his child to his mother, the child dies. The response of this woman immediately was not to lash out at God, but to go get the man of God. And so she goes and she gets Elijah, and Elijah follows her. Because when she greets her, the question is everything okay? Is all well? And she said, all is well, knowing that her son was home in his room dead, but all is well. I think that speaks much to us about having faith that no matter what trial, what tragedy we go through, it is well with my soul. And we rest in the living God, and we trust, and we have faith to believe that God can work miracles in our life if we'll just have faith to believe. And so she just refused to leave the man of God. And as she refused to leave the man of God, then they went to the house, and Elisha laid on this boy. As a result of it, this boy comes back to life, and this woman departs with her son. And so what a great story that is filled with examples of the results or experiences of faith. And so where's your faith? There's several things here, just some introductory thoughts. And I know they were already introductory thoughts, but I have some more. In verse 9, notice she was willing to recognize Elijah as a man of God. In verse 9, it says, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. And my thought is this, and this is my message I'm building up and working on right now. What caused her to come to the conclusion that this was a man of God? That's a convicting thought. What do people see in us that causes them to perceive that we are men and women of God? And so she recognized him as a man of God. I don't want to preach my new message I'm working on, so I'll move on. Verse 10, notice she provided for the man of God. In verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set up for him a bed. And now, not very much luxury living here. A bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. I guess that's all we need. Amen. And so she was willing to provide for the man of God. Notice she was rewarded by the man of God in verse 7. The woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. And certainly God was moving through the life of Elijah. And this woman, who with no pretense whatsoever acknowledges the fact that there's something different about Elijah, they perceive that he is a man of God. So let's be a blessing to the man of God. And as a result of it, she's rewarded by the man of God, and she receives a son. But in verse 18 through 20, she's troubled in spite of the man of God. In verse 18, we're not going to read all the verses again, but her son becomes sick and her son dies. And may I say this, that oftentimes you will suffer trouble in your life, whether you're a man or a woman of God or not. And oftentimes I think we have this false concept that we think because we're Christians, we're going to escape troubles and trials. But the reality is we're not going to escape them. The health, wealth, and prosperity preaching that has gone on for so many years has created this mindset that I'm not going to suffer any loss in my life. Well, the reality is you are going to suffer loss. This woman certainly was a woman of faith that trusted in the living God through the man of God that was revealed to her, but yet trouble came to her life, and trouble will come. When the trouble comes, where is your faith? So first of all, I want us to consider in this chapter the step of faith. In look at verse 22 and 23. Says, and she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. A step of faith is just simply this. When tragedy comes, you still run to the Lord. And oftentimes, people, when tragedy comes, they lose their faith because they run away from God. And so here she is running. Notice she was doing a couple things here in this passage I see. She was preparing for a miracle. In verse 22, she longed to go to, she wanted to run to the man of God, so she was preparing for a miracle. And oftentimes, I just wonder if we miss out on so many miracles in our life because we're not prepared, we're not ready to do that. And certainly in Mark chapter 9, there was a man who needed his son healed, and he was willing to come to the Lord. He came to the disciples, which could do nothing. And in Mark chapter 9 and verse 20 says, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And this man needed a miracle in his life for his son to be released from this demonic oppression and possession in his life. And so he went to Jesus Christ. And when we want to prepare for a miracle, then we've got to turn to God and go to where he can work on our behalf. In verse 23 of Mark 9, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Positioning yourself to get ready for a miracle. Are you prepared for preparing yourself for a miracle? You know, God has promised and he has blessed that he would bless us. And if he has promised that he would bless us, are we doing the things that he has so designed for us to do to be able to receive the blessing? And I remember that movie, what was it, Facing the Giants. I like that one section, that guy's praying and praying for the coach, and he comes in and shares with him how God had promised that he would send rain, and he gives him, tells him the parable, how one man is preparing his fields and the other man is doing nothing because it had not rained. And he said, now which one is getting ready? Which one is prepared? I'm paraphrasing the movie, amen. Which one is prepared? This is not inspired, amen. Anyway, which one of them was prepared for the miracle? And it was the man that went out and prepared his fields. And oftentimes what we do, we're not ready to get a miracle from God because we're not preparing ourselves to get one. This woman said, wait a minute, my son has died. I need a miracle. And so she prepared herself to get the miracle by running to the man of God. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus goes on and says, straightway the father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I mean, he is positioning himself to get a miracle. And then in verse 25, Jesus saw that the people came running together and rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter him no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I'm telling you right now, this man, this father whose son was demon-possessed, needed a miracle from God, and he put himself in a position where he could get it. He had faith, but he had also doubts. And listen, perfect faith is not that you never have any doubts, but in the midst of those doubts, you still run to the Lord. And this woman, her son is dead, and yet she is acknowledging the fact that all is well. She was preparing for a miracle. She was also responding to the abnormal. Notice in verse 23, he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither the new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Responding to the abnormal. In other words, the normal thing was to go to the man of God on the Sabbath. The normal thing was go to the man of God during the new moon. That she is going to the man of God for a miracle at a time when it's not the normal time of worship, when it's not the normal time of service of God. And so she is willing to respond to the abnormal. Preparing for a miracle, a step of faith, really gets us in a position of, listen, going against the norm. Going beyond the tradition, going to a place of acknowledging that, wait a minute, there is something that is extreme that has to take place in my life in order for this miracle to be experienced. And so she's responding to the abnormal. I think sometimes God has to shake us up and show us that there are ways he will hear us and respond to us if we'll get out of the norm. I know when I was between churches after we started Gospel Light Baptist Church, and I was looking for a church and candidating at different churches, I was up on Route 17 up in New York on my way to Buffalo, New York, and God broke my heart about driving truck. I'd been driving for about a year, and God broke my heart. It is not normal for somebody to take a tractor and trailer and pull it off to the side of the road and get out of the truck and lay face down on the ground on the shoulder of the road praying and crying out to God. That's not normal. The normal thing is you got to wait till Wednesday night when you have prayer meeting. And then when we have prayer meeting, you get 10 minutes at the end of the service, so make sure you get through to God in those 10 minutes. That's the normal. But I'm going to tell you, when you need a miracle in your life, when you need God to do something that's miraculous in your life, it's going to require of you to respond to the abnormal. And I found this, that when faith responding to the abnormal is all right because God comes through for us. Notice she responded to the abnormal. In verse 23, I see this too. She's believing without any evidence. Because in verse 23, she said, "It shall be well." How does she know that? What do you mean, "It shall be well"? Your son's laying in his room dead. What do you mean, "It shall be well"? You're going to see the man of God. He's at Carmel. Well, wait a minute. We know Elijah had to stand up against the prophets of Baal at Carmel. We don't know whether the man of God's going to be busy. You don't know if you're going to be able to get through to the man of God. What do you mean God's going to move and everything's going to be well? She's believing without any evidence. And may I say, that's what faith is. Faith is believing when there's no evidence to support what it is that you're believing. And I've seen over the years, I'm telling you right now, God always comes through when we have a step of faith, when we're willing to believe, when we have no evidence to back up what we should believe in God for. I know when we started our Christian school, Ocean County Christian Academy, the decision we made as a church in January with no teachers and no money and no classrooms and no students and no teachers and everything else, we made a decision to start in the fall, and we needed 85 students. And that's what we prayed for. And in the fall of 2003, in August of 2003, the school opened with 85 students in it, with the amount of teachers that we needed to be able to teach those children. Listen, in January, when we made the decision, there was no evidence to say this is going to take place. There was no evidence to support that this is something that we need to do. But that's what taking a step of faith is. And when we take a step of faith, then we experience a miracle from God. So we see she's believing without any evidence, a step of faith. I see in verse 26, she makes a statement of faith. A statement of faith in verse 26. She says, run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? Very specific questions. And she answered, it is well. That's a statement of faith. And oftentimes, we have to be careful that we don't just pray or state things in general terms. And if we're living in the realm of expecting a miracle from God, it's okay to be specific. It's all right to be exact with God. It's all right to testify with one another what you believe that God is going to do. Is everything all right with your household? Is everything all right with your husband? Is everything all right with your child? Is everything okay in your life? It is well. So it's a statement of faith. Notice in this statement of faith what she experienced when she made this statement of faith. First of all, there was opposition to the exercise of faith. Notice in verse 27, and when she was come to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. And so here is this woman, as she's coming, she's overwrought with emotions. She's longing for a miracle. She knows she has to bow down to the man of God. And as she comes to him, Gehazi's response was, get away from him. Gehazi's got eyes in his eyes that she has gone beyond what she should be doing. And so there's opposition to the exercise of faith. And we have to acknowledge that whenever you step out by faith, there's always somebody that's going to oppose what you're doing by faith. But if you have faith to believe, you still take the step of faith. You still testify of the faith that you have in Christ. And so opposition to the exercise of faith. Notice in verse 28, there's an explanation of an enduring faith. And notice it says, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? So she still has faith because she came to the man of God, but she's questioning, my faith is strong. I believe all that is well, but wait a minute. I didn't ask you for this. I didn't plead with you about this. But yet I'm still coming to you. And so there's an explanation of an enduring faith. She's trying to help Elijah understand why she is there because of the fact she had faith to believe, but I'm telling you, she's shaken because she doesn't know why she's experienced what she has experienced. And so she's questioning Elijah. Then she's exercising a focused faith in verse 30. It says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. But he arose and followed her, persisting, exercising, focused faith. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus gives us a parable and about this matter of persisting in faith in Luke chapter 11. And no matter what goes on, we still have to pursue God on a daily basis, consistent basis. And this woman came to Elijah, and she was not going to give up and walk away until Elijah did something. Now, in Luke chapter 11, in verse 5, it says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I can imagine somebody coming to your house at midnight and say, I need some bread. And it says, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I'm just saying this. The exercise of persistence, exercise of focus. She was there for one reason and one reason only, and she needed the man of God to come and work a miracle. Exercising a focused faith. And folks, we need to get focused on what it is that we need God to do in us, through us, for us, and not get distracted from that because somebody comes along and says, oh, well, you know, you've been praying a long time. You need to stop praying. You've been believing a long time. You know, if God really is in control, then, you know, what this didn't happen. This didn't take place. So you need to change your focus. No, we still focus on the Lord. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about prayer, persistent prayer, and answers to prayer. And they were sharing with me a situation of a family member that they had prayed for over 30 years. For over 30 years that they might get saved. They're still not saved. But they said this to me, we're not stopping praying. We're not stopping and forgetting that, wait a minute, we have faith to believe that God can save their soul. We have faith to keep banging on the throne of heaven and believing that God can do something. They're exercising a focused faith. And so we don't stop praying. We don't start disbelieving. We still believe God. And this woman exercised a very focused faith when she comes to Elijah. Notice she was trusting in the man of God or the man of faith. And notice in verse 32, it said, when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door. It's interesting that she didn't run in with him. It's interesting that she's not questioning, what are you going to do? Why are you closing the door? She is trusting the man of God, who she has acknowledged is a man of God, to work a miracle. It says, when he went up, he lay upon the child and put his mouth to his mouth and his eyes to his eyes and his hands to his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. I'm thankful that this woman didn't give up of having trust and faith to believe that her son could be healed. But the interesting thing is the man of God didn't give up. He didn't just walk in the room and he was healed. And you see the commitment, you see the prayer, you see the involvement of the man of God to the point where this young boy is brought back to life. And so she had a trusting in the man of God. So I see a statement of faith, a step of faith. I see a statement of faith. Then in verse 37, I see the product of faith. It says, then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Now, when she falls at the feet of Elijah, it is an acknowledgement that she's bending her knee before God. And not only that is she bending her knee before God, but now she is receiving the product or the reward of her faith because her son is alive and she takes her son out with her and departs. And so the product of faith, first of all, is this. Faith begets new life. And I think sometimes we forget that faith does beget new life. And I think of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus tells Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And in John chapter 3, in verse 14, it says, and as Moses was lifted up, the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so this matter of faith begets new life. It's illustrated in the life of Nicodemus. Not only that, but faith restores the lost, Faith restores lost life. Immediately, I thought of the prodigal son. He went out and squandered all of his living. He squandered everything that he had, everything that the father had worked for to leave as an inheritance. He lost it all. And when he came to himself, he came back to his father's house and he acknowledges that he had sinned against his father and against his father's God. But the father declares that they need to have a feast, put a robe on him, the ring on his finger, kill the fatted calf. Why? Because that which was lost is found, but also he said, my son was dead and he is alive. And so faith begets new life, but faith restores life in that one who is lost. This woman experienced faith that produced life because faith gave her the child that she conceived and was born. When her child died, it was her faith that restored life to the dead body of her son. Amen. And then I see that faith builds an abundant life. Not just new life and lost life, but abundant life. Now, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. In Psalm 1 in verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I'm going to tell you, this woman would seem that she had lost it all. But I'm going to tell you, it was her faith that she received a blessing, a manifold blessing upon her as her son was brought back to life. Why? Because whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so where's your faith tonight? Where's our faith? Is it growing? Is it maturing? Are we experiencing a move of God in our hearts? Do we know where to turn when things go apart, when things seem to fail? Do we really know that God is still on the throne and he can still work a miracle in our life? I don't know what it is you need tonight, but I know this. There is a God who can meet that need. And all we need to do is have faith to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so if I'm going to be able to please God, I'm going to be able to experience the blessings of God, I've got to have faith to believe it. But I just, as I went through that passage and I was looking at it, just the thought of preparing for a miracle. What are we doing to prepare ourselves for a magnificent outpouring of God's Spirit? What are we doing to prepare ourselves for a miracle working God to move in our midst? where is thy faith? Let's bow for prayer. My God, I come to you. I thank you so much. I'm thankful for your great grace and mercy to us. I'm thankful for faith that you instill in us. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can have faith as this Shunammite woman to experience things in her life that she didn't even ask for. And yet, God, be able to see her so living her life and stating the faith that she had to believe that no matter what the tragedy was, everything was all right. And so, God, I'm thankful that everything's always all right in my Father's house. And I'm thankful, oh God, I'm thankful tonight that you give us faith. Increase our faith, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say